الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I am your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals of the faith of Islam, the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you and follow along with me in your Quran as I read some ayats or verses from Quran. And also, I want you to have a paper, pencil, pen in case you want to take notes and look at them later on. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic study class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be, is the treating women nicely. Because sometimes people don't treat women the way they're supposed to be or the way they're supposed to be treated, and they take women as second-class citizens, or they're only there to be abused by others. And so I just wanted to enlighten you all on how Islam views the practice of abusing people, particularly the women, and how we're supposed to treat women. I know a lot of people sometimes say that we as Muslim men, we make the women dress and cover up the way they cover up and have their head covered, long clothing, and the like. But that's certainly far from the case, because there's a verse in the Quran in chapter 24, verse 31. And you could turn to that right now if you like. Chapter 24, verse 31. If you don't have Quran, a solid book, in your hand, you can always go to Quran.com, and that's basically like free. And you go to chapter 24, verse 31, and you can follow along with me, because it has it in Arabic and English, and so you just follow along with me. As I read, the interpretations or translating will be maybe a little bit different for mine and yours, but still, it gives you general information about what it says in terms of this particular verse and translating this verse. So it says about, and tell the believing women to lower their gaze and guard their chastity, and not to reveal their ornaments, except what is normally appears. So women are not there for to put their garments over their bosom, over their chest, wear the long clothing, not too tight, that around their body shows the form of their body, and it should be loose. It should not be the clothing that men normally use, identify as a men clothing. They're not should be doing any of that, or it's real see-through or form-fitting. So be careful about doing that or dressing like that, ladies, because that's not how you're supposed to dress. And us as men, we don't make the women dress like this. They're following what Allah says in the Quran about the dress of the woman and how her modesty of her dress, and to cover those things that are apparent to others or any ornaments. is not for everyone to see. Her body is not for everyone to see. It's for particular people to see. Okay, for them to see. Her husband, for example, her blood brother, her son, her nephews, those people, all they can see her ornaments or see her without her covering on her head, for example. But otherwise, anyone else, and you could all look on the Quran, the verses that talk about the people who are forbidden for them to uncover themselves and permissible for them to cover. Forbidden for them to be uncovered before those person and permissible for them to be uncovered before that person. So let me go on, my beautiful students, and let them draw their veils over their chests, like I said before. And do not reveal their hidden ornaments, except to their husband, their father, their father-in-laws, their sons, their stepsons, their brother's son or sister's sons, their fellow women, those bond women in their possession. I won't get into that right now. Male attendees. Attendants with no desire, or children who are still unaware of women's nakedness. Let them not stomp their feet, drawing attention to their hidden ornaments, turning to Allah and repentance altogether, O believers, so that you may be successful. And so, my beautiful students, I try to read it as slow as possible so you can catch it. But you can always go back and read it yourself. And it has a long list of people that can see her with nothing on her head and that sort of thing. It's the Muslim clothing. And as I have mentioned, their father-in-law, sons, and the rest on the list. But you can always go back over that particular verse to find out what I'm talking about here. So that's the rights of the women to dress according to what Allah tells them to do, and they can only show themselves to the people that I mentioned, and other ones they're forbidden to show themselves. And that helps them in terms of staying modest. And so I know that some people out there, they say, well, the men are being oppressive towards the women, having them dress like that and the like. No, we're not doing that at all. This is from Quran. This is the law that directs the women to do. And this is the way it's supposed to dress. Men also, certain things we can't wear. We can't wear silk, for example, for the men. We can't wear women's clothing. We can't wear form-fitting or tight clothing. So also things that we can't wear as men. But a lot of people kind of harp on the women and what they can't wear and what men are making them do. And put that on your head, that thing on your head. No, we're not making them do that. They're obeying Allah. And as an aside thing, this is from me, is that when a woman puts on her some people call it a hijab, what it is, the khimar, her head covering, and when she puts this on her head, alhamdulillah, it makes her look a very, very beautiful lady. The way the khimar sort of frames her face. And you all who are not Muslims that are in my class, try it for yourself. You take a piece of cloth and put it on your head and look in your mirror and look at how beautiful you look. But a man, when he looks at you, he's not going about that. Oh, your hair, or your eyes, or the makeup that you have on. No, and lipstick. No, he's not looking at that. He's looking at just your natural beauty. When you put that head covering on and just see your natural beauty that Allah has blessed you with, and you're just your natural face beauty. And again, wearing a khimar or the head covering, it just frames the face and brings out your natural beauty even more. Try it. I give that a challenge to my, particularly to my non-Muslim students, to just try it. You can try it in the privacy of your home. You can put on something, a scarf or something, on your head and see the difference between how you look with the scarf on and without the scarf on. And you see there's a tremendous difference and a beautiful way that the scarf itself, and this is the last time I'm going to talk about this, the scarf itself frames the face of the woman and frames your face. Also, the rights of the woman in treating her well is when a person divorces her. And she had, a man can't just divorce a woman and kick her out the house and you're on your own. No, that's not what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to really maintain the woman in his home until she delivers the child. After that, they still want to get divorced. They can get divorced. And yes, we do have divorce in Islam. And when a house is on fire, you need the way out of it. When you have a smoking hot relationship with your husband, not a positive one, with the husband, then a woman can get out of the marriage by getting divorced from the husband, or the husband getting divorced from the wife. We do have that in Islam, that you can't divorce the individual. The woman can divorce from the husband, or the husband can divorce from the wife. But it's one thing that has to be done if the woman is pregnant. And then it says in chapter 65, verse 6. Again, turn to it, chapter 65, verse 6. And it says, let them live where you live, talking to the men, during their waiting period. Because normally waiting period for a woman is 3 months. But it could go longer, and she stayed, a waiting period could be as long as she's pregnant, for example, and then her waiting period is over, and when she delivers a child. So again, it says, let them live where you live during their waiting period according to your means, and do not harass them to make their stay unbearable. Do not harass them. Do not hassle them. Do not cause a problem with the woman. Let her live in peace in your home. You provide for her and you take care of her. And do not harass them to make their stay unbearable. If they are pregnant, then maintain them until they deliver. And if they nurse your child, compensate them and consult together courteously. But if you fail to reach an agreement, then another woman will nurse the child for the father. And of course, you pay the woman to nurse a child if you like, or maybe she'll nurse a child on her own. And Islamically, what happens when a church will nurse a child over a certain amount, like for example, nurse a child 5 times, or they drink from the breast 5 times, then that child become related to that woman. And that child is now in the list of, he can't marry the woman, he can see the woman without anything on her head, and that sort of thing. And so it changed the dynamics and relationship between the woman and that particular child. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. And one more thing I want to add to it, and that is one of the things about, we have to make sure we treat the women well, is that in Islam, there's no such thing as honor killing. Now, what am I talking about? Because you have some places in the world, and societies in the world, cultures in the world, where they have honor killing. And that is, in certain cultures, the killing of a relative, especially a girl or a woman, who is perceived to have brought dishonor on the family. For example, if a woman has sex, she's had sex outside of marriage, so he brings dishonor to the family. And the only way the family can perceive, in other words, to get their honor back, is to take the woman out to the woods someplace, or take her far into the desert someplace, and then take her life. Then after that, she's no longer in the family, no longer around. Then supposedly their honor of the family is supposed to be restored. But it has nothing to do with Islam. It's a cultural thing for a lot of people. This is something that Muslims should not practice, because again, it has nothing to do with Islam. And a lot of times what happened is, in those different cultures, if a man does something, he doesn't end up dead. But if a woman or a girl does something, then they end up dead. You may go out with the say, for example, the brother and the father and a girl into the woods, and husband and the father comes back, and a woman is not with them. And that happens many times in some cultures, but it's not part of the Muslim or Islamic culture when you're talking about killing for honor. Let me move on, my beautiful students. This is very, very beautiful, this particular hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by Abu Huraira, who said, Allah's apostle said, treat women nicely, for a woman or women are created from a rib, and the most curved portion of the rib is the upper portion. So if you should try to straighten it, it will break. But if you leave it as it is, it will remain crooked. So treat women nicely. Don't try to change them. Don't try to reshape them. And that's just how they are, whatever way they came in. And that's the reason you're attracted to them. And then you want to come and you want to change them later on. I try to shape them and mold them, but we can't do that. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to treat women nicely, because of course, if she doesn't conform to the way you think she should conform or be, then you're going to do what? You're going to be very harsh towards her. You're going to try to hurt her. You're going to abuse her. So you don't want to do that. You want to treat the women kindly. And let me just name some other things so you all get a further idea about what I'm talking about. And that is, for the Muslim woman or women, they have what is called a mahar, M-A-H-R. And that is they're maintained. What happens is that the woman is supposed to be maintained by the man. Now, I know some women want to be, I could take care of myself, I don't need a man. All right, I understand that part. And I'm not taking that away from you at all. But I'm just talking about what the responsibility of a man is to take care of the woman, buy her clothing, her food, make sure she housed properly. Those kind of things are the responsibility of the man, and really the right of the woman. And not to be harsh and hold it back as an abusing a woman. I'm not going to give you so-and-so, feed you because you ain't treat me right today. Or I'm not going to put clothing on you, or you can't live in my house because you didn't do what I said. No, that's not it. You married the woman, and you treat the woman in a very nice and kind of respectful way. And it doesn't matter if the woman is your mother, your sister, your aunt, anything like that. This woman is related to you, whatever way she's related to you, and you just treat her well, and also treat your sons to do the same thing towards women that they come across or they interact with or come into their life. You pass that behavior on to the next generation from you, and you pass it on to your son. Our sons, and they pass it on to their sons. And so if you have a cycle of abuse, then we want to break that cycle by teaching our sons how they're supposed to treat a woman, and treat her in a nice and a kind way. I also want to say to the women, you also look for men that do will treat you in a nice and kind way. And don't think that you're going to automatically be able to mold him. Oh, he's not going to treat me like that, huh? You may be surprised he may even treat you worse than the way he treat other people. So don't think that you're going to be the one. I'm going to be the one. I got it going on. I'm going to be the one to reshape him and mold him the way I want him to be. He's not going to abuse me like he abused those women before me. You may just end up being more abused than those women before you. And also I want to say to you all that when you're talking about, when I said M-A-H-R, the mahar, is that that's like a dowry, if you will. And that's the right of a woman to receive a dowry from the Islamic standpoint from the man. That dowry, that mahar, does not go to the husband or the father of the woman or anything like that. It goes straight to her. Money, books, traveling, whatever it is, it goes straight to her to do what she wants with it. And that is her right. And that you give her that gift. So I want you all to be clear when we're talking about the mahar, that is basically the dowry that you give to the woman. Now, as far as taking care of her, then you talk about the nafaqah, N-A-F-A-Q-A-H. And that is the situation where you take care of the woman. And understand this, from the Islamic standpoint, the money that the woman makes, that's her money. She don't have to do anything in terms of, from the Islamic standpoint, she has to do anything in terms of the household, buying clothing, buying food and the like. She can spend the money whatever way she wants to spend it. She can do that. But you as a man have responsibility to take care of her. That is part of her maintenance coming from you and maintaining and taking care of her. So what do I mean by that? Because again, it's the ayah in the Quran that mentioned that men are the protectors and maintainers of the woman or women, because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. That we as men, we support the women from our means, from what we earn. We provide for them, not them providing for us. They want to help? Okay, that's fine. But the thing is, from Islamic standpoint, is that we're supposed to provide for the woman. That is our responsibility to take care of them, and of course, also treat them nicely. And another thing, I mentioned this before, is to treat them kind and proper, and show kindness towards the woman. And that's what we're supposed to do, and they deserve that. There was one time there was a man, was pulling a cart, and he had some cargo in the cart. And the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said to the man, I think his name was Yasser. He said, Yasser. He said, be gentle and be careful with the fragile cargo that you're carrying. And the cargo he was carrying were women in his carriage or in his cart. And so he was telling him to, you know, be gentle and be kind and don't hurt them and treat them well. So if you're a man out there, one of my students, I'm talking about Muslim and non-Muslim, and you treat a woman in a bad way, you can change that now. After you hear me, ask Allah to give you strength to be a better person and surprise a woman or a female you've been abusing and surprise her with kindness and keep up the kindness. You show kindness and maybe Allah will show kindness towards you. You show her mercy, maybe Allah will show mercy towards you. And so you just don't know until you change what you do, particularly in the treatment of the woman. This is what a man's supposed to do. This is what a man has to do. And a Muslim man have to treat the woman, his Muslim wife and daughters and mother and aunt, in a certain way. And nothing else is below that way. He's supposed to treat her that way. And again, as I told you all before, is that the angels see all that we do. or an angel on the right writing down our good deeds, and an angel on the left writing down our bad deeds. Also, we are not to beat the women. Again, treat them kindly. We are not to beat the women or abuse them in any kind of way. And so I want everyone to keep that in mind. My beautiful students, to please keep that in mind, how we're supposed to not abuse or beat the women and show honor towards the women. So my beautiful students, I'm going to stop now because I sort of covered this topic a little bit in one of my earlier episodes where I talk about treatment of women, but this is a little bit different, talking about treating them kindly. Please change your way. They deserve that from you, to be treated in a kind and gentle manner. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor and teacher, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.